It is October the 25th, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling and MMA news and notes. And tonight I'm welcoming to the line, or on the website tonight, Haley Hatred, who has wrestled in Shimmer, has wrestled pretty much all over the United States, in Mexico, wrestled as Dark Unicorn under a mask, and is currently spending a lot of time in Japan, where she has won several titles that we'll talk about. But tonight, I give you Haley Hatred. How you doing tonight, Haley?
I'm perfect. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, and we do appreciate your time. As I know, you're getting ready to go back to Japan, where you are now living full-time. But I recently saw a picture of you where you're holding up four different championship belts. So can you give us a little bit of background about those titles and how you won those championships?
Yeah, like you said, I do have four championships. So I guess starting with the oldest one would be the TLW title. And I actually won that championship a couple years ago, right before I had moved to Mexico. And I won that in Indiana. And I'm actually up to, I think, 17 defenses on that belt right now. So that's the TLW singles championship. And then from there, I ended up winning the TLW Tag Team Championship, which is a Japanese title, even though it has the same initials. And myself and Kaori Yoneyama, we are, co-holders of that one. And that's technically called the TLW World Women's Championship. So that's a long name. But we won that. It was actually up for, grabs, I guess, because one of the girls who had it previously had an injury, so she wasn't able to defend it. So they put that up at the Joshi for Hope show, and I believe that was in November of 2010, and Yoneyama and myself, we wrestled Cherry Bomb and Sexy Star, and then we won that championship. So we're almost itching up on a year of champions with that, so that's pretty cool. And she's my best friend, so I can't think of a better, partner. And then from there, I won a championship in Mexico, and that's the Hybrid Women's Championship. And that's one of the cooler belts, in my opinion, because being hybrid, the definition being kind of like an array of styles. So the idea of that championship is actually for it to be defended in, a regular match, maybe like a rounds match, a submission match, a hardcore match, Japanese style match in Japan, lucha style match, 2 out of 3 falls in Mexico, and then even MMA. So that's still, like I said, like a new title. I've only defended that 3 times now, but so I'm really excited about the future of that belt. Like, I hope we can do some really cool, challenges with that. And then last but not least, my most prized possession would be the JWP Championship. That's the the oldest belt in Japan history right now, so it's like 20 years old. It's like almost my age, so that one was really cool to win. I won that on June 26th in Osaka. I beat Leon for it, and then I'm actually the first foreigner to ever hold that championship. So it's pretty rare to see a foreigner have a belt over in Japan, and I was the first to have that one. So I'm very, very, very proud of that accomplishment.
Well, congratulations! I think that's awesome. As I was telling you offline, obviously with Japan, they're very protective of their championships. Usually the Japanese titles themselves stay in Japan with Japanese talent. So you coming over as a foreigner, as they would classify you as, to not only get a title shot, but to actually win a championship, that's a rarity. So you definitely deserve a pat on the back for some of those championships.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really excited, too. After I had my last defense in September against Kurogaki, I came back to the States just a couple of days after that, and I was able to bring the belts, and then I was able to have a defense here against Cherry Bomb at AIW in Cleveland, Ohio. So I got to defend all my titles and the JWP belt there, and that was the first time it's ever left Japan. So that was really cool, and I'm hoping to take it to some more continents,
I want to ask you, you are a regular in Japan, but you also wrestle in the United States. You wrestle in Mexico. I understand that you're not exclusive to any one company. I guess who, at this point, would you consider your home fed for the 3 countries there?
Oh, that's a hard question. In Mexico, it's really up in the air because the organizations I was with previously, I always did kind of want to step out and do a little bit something different than there. But, the most famous company I've wrestled for in Mexico has been AAA. And then I've done a lot of independents there as well. So it's very, like, Mexico is a very easy country to just be busy in. Like, you can wrestle. I actually had 8 matches in one day on a Sunday in Mexico. Like, it's very simple to pick up matches. So I definitely didn't have a home company there. But I would really, like, one of my big goals in my career is to get to work with CMLL. They have so many talented girls there. And I wasn't really able to put a good effort into, you know, getting down there and working with their girls, even though I did wrestle a lot of the girls outside of the company, because I, you know, kind of had so much Japan commitments going on. But that's just, you know, I'm not going to be angry about having to go to Japan. So that's just how the stars were aligned at that point. But before I do retire, I'm for sure going to give, you know, CMLL a good run. And I'd really like to, you know, have a, you know, a good strong push down there, you know, really work hard and do some fun stuff, because I think I'm a little bit different of a wrestler than, you know, they've had come through in the past. And then in the States, I guess my home fed would be AIW in Cleveland, like I was talking about earlier, where I had my championship defense there. They've been just, like, one of the most consistent companies I've wrestled for over the past few years, and I've gotten, like, a lot of career advice from, you know, the heads of the companies there, and they've really helped me out and kind of changed me from where I was in my career to a new, nice direction. You know, they really don't have much to do with my international bookings, but like stateside, they handled a lot of my stuff and, you know, kind of made me a bigger name than I was. So I really appreciate all their hard work. And, you know, I definitely consider them my home. You know, I'm most excited when I, you know, hit stateside to go back and wrestle for them and kind of see where they're going. And they're doing some great thing with girls right now. Like, me and Mickey were actually the first two, Mickey Knuckles, I'm sorry, were the first two girls wrestling there. And they've just, I mean, now they have girl tournaments. I think they're coming up on their 5th girls tournament next year. And so they're just kind of kicking butt now with girls. And it's awesome. People are supporting them. And in Japan, I would say I am an independent, you know, in Japan, but probably my home, I guess, would be JWP. I wrestle most frequently there. And, you know, I like it there. But there's a lot to do in Japan as well, so I don't, you know, limit myself by just staying in one dojo. I think, you know, to be the best, you just kind of have to always put yourself with the best, and all the best fighters are typically never in one dojo, so you kind of got to get out there and, you know, spar and train and wrestle against the best.
We'll be getting back to Mexico and Japan as we progress through the interview here, but we kind of want to go back to the beginning, because as I was explaining to you, you know, offline, that this will be the first chance that a lot of people get a chance to hear of you, and then to hear an interview with you as a subject. So for those that are not familiar with Haley Hatred, where did you come from, and who did you train with, and how did you kind of break into this wacky business of professional wrestling?
Yeah, absolutely. I was from the Central Ohio area, so, you know, I grew up here, you know, went to school and did all the sports and everything else that everybody else did in high school. And then, you know, I decided when I was in my teens, I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I had grew up watching wrestling. I actually grew up watching Japanese wrestling, and really, you know, looking up to Jushin Liger from New Japan. And you know, I was just really blessed to grow up kind of watching the New Japan Juniors. And, you know, but it wasn't really something I thought of doing as a career. I guess it didn't dawn on me that it could be. And then when I was a teenager, I met some people that were older than me, but they were actually wrestlers. They were independent wrestlers. And they were, you know, they were actually really talented, not like something, you know, not with a bad connotation like I think a lot of people have for independent wrestling. So I was like, oh, wow, these guys are really good, and, like, they're doing what they want to do. I want to do this, you know. So that was about when I was 14, 15, and so I just kind of started, you know, training a lot more in karate and whatnot, and just kind of getting a little bit more into boxing. In my state, you have to be 18 to wrestle, so I had to do that whole thing. So I waited until I was 18. Then I went down to Cincinnati, trained with HWA. That's Les Thatcher's camp. And then it was actually developmental at that time. Them and OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, they were developmentals for the WWF back then. And so, man, I'm old. And so, yeah, I trained down there. I did learn WWE style, I suppose, even though it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do with my career. I did kind of, my whole career dream was to just go to Japan, as, you know, sweet and innocent as that sounds, but it is the truth. I just wanted to go have a tour. And so I trained there. I was there for a couple of years, and, you know, eventually kind of worked out more on the independents here in the Midwest. Got lucky to get involved with the Chick Fight tournaments out in California at All Pro Wrestling pretty early. So, you know, I went out there, and then finally I got some, you know, in 2007 I got my call to Japan, and so that was kind of my goal and what I wanted to do, and so I was happy from there. And then just from there, I've I'd always wanted to go to Mexico too. I think Mexico is a really important part for a young wrestler, especially. I wish I would have got down there even earlier, but I think Mexico style of wrestling really gives you a good base of knowledge, and it also just kind of makes you a little more carefree. Like, I think a lot of people have a lot of restrictions when they wrestle, and I feel like if you learn like a lucha style, like you really are just a little bit more relaxed and kind of go with the flow a little bit more, so you're a little bit more confident in your own motions. And so you know, I went to Mexico and just kind of did the whole international back and forth thing.
I always like to ask, because I'm always curious, you know, what did your parents or what did your family, friends think of your idea of, hey, I think I want to be a pro wrestler someday?
Yeah. Well, I actually had an interesting situation. I had a really young sister. I was actually 13 when my sister was born. So by the time I moved out, she was like, you know, 4 and going on 5 maybe. And so I was like, she's just like, what? You're going to go be a pro wrestler? You know, like, this is like not what you hear every day. But yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said my parents were supportive. Like, they were just kind of like, you know, what? Like, because, you know, I did excel in school. I got really good grades. I did above the whole 4.0 thing. So I was really on track. Like, I was taking, you know, advanced placement college courses as, like, a freshman in high school. So, you know, I was really on track to, like, have this great, like, smart girl career. And then I became a pro wrestler. So
you messed it up.
Yeah, I really did. My mom was less than thrilled, I'm sorry. And also I had, you know, I was pretty decent at sports too, so I kind of had some scholarships in talks as well. And so she was just kind of like, what are you doing? Like, you could go all these, you know, sure thing routes in college, or you can go and just really throw it out there in pro wrestling. And so I did the pro wrestling thing, which, you know, not to say I'm not happy and not to say I haven't made good money, but I definitely suggest people get a good education. That's what I'm suggesting to my sister. She wants to wrestle as well, so, you know what I'm saying, go to school. But it happened to work out for me so far, at least, you know, I'm making a living out of it. But yeah, so they just basically thought it was strange. And even now, like, you know, I've been training for 10 years now, and then I'm coming up on my 9-year anniversary here in a week or so, for wrestling. And so, like, I've been you know, a decade out of my house here, and they still are just kind of like, what, you know, like, it's just so strange that you live in Japan. Okay.
When you wrestle in the United States, do they come out and actually watch you wrestle?
Like, around where I live, there's not a lot locally. My mom did come out and see me once. That was like 10 or 15 minutes away from my house, and that was just a real rarity. I went through a phase where, like, I didn't even have bookings in Ohio, like, for a couple years. It was really strange. So they didn't really, like, make the trek out, like, you know, to the East Coast or, like, you know, to California to see me wrestle. But my little sister and my grandparents, whenever I wrestled in Cleveland, they would come up and see that. So that was, you know, a couple-hour haul. So that was nice of them. But my mom, she saw me wrestle once, and I guess she wasn't a fan. She was just like, yeah, I don't want to see that.
You chose this over Ohio State?
Yeah, exactly. Could be a lawyer right now.
In terms of goals, you know, when you broke in the business, what were your goals then, and how have they changed now, being where you are currently in your career?
Well, my goal is just to, you know, to get to Japan. I just wanted to, you know, get over there and have a nice tour. So once that happened, I was just like, it really, like, opened my eyes. Like, wow, there's so much to do here. It's like the States, only more, you know what I mean? So, obviously now my goals have changed now that I've lived there and now that I've been going there for, you know, 4 years and won championships and stuff like that. But I mean, my goal, just like as a young girl, as a wrestler, was just to travel the world. Like, it was never necessarily to be on TV, to make, you know, a ton of money or anything like that, to be in a video game. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was just like, I really loved wrestling and I just really wanted to, like, go experience it everywhere. And I can't lie and say that that's changed now. I'm sad I've only been, like, to 2 continents, you know what I mean? Like, I want to get more, you know, I want to do more, I want to go more places, I want to see more things. I really think, like, that's what keeps your style evolving, is just seeing how people are doing things in other countries and whatnot, and, you know, so that's what I want to do. And as far, I mean, my goals right now are pretty much just kind of, like, in Japan. Like, I don't really think outside of that box right now, because it's where I want to be, and it's been my entire career aspiration. But, you know, I want to, like, there's tag titles, the daily sports and the JWP tag titles that, like, I've tried to get, like, three different times, and I've not been able to win them. So, like, before I freaking retire, I will have those belts. Like, tag team wrestling, something that's, like, always interested in me, especially when I, like, you know, like, just had a lot of opponents in the States as a singles wrestler. I was just kind of like, man, you know, like, I want to try something new. Let's try this tag scene out, you know. And I think girls tag wrestling is so rare. So when that kind of jumped to Japan, I formed a couple, like, stable tag teams, not just thrown together tag teams. It's like, it's a whole fun, you know, unique way to, you know, plan out wrestling and whatnot, to plan out your game. Like, so I really, you know, I really want to win couple tag belts before I leave, because, you know, it's just kind of like a thorn on my side. Like, I can't win these freaking belts. That's a big goal of mine. Another big goal of mine is to wrestle Aja Kong before she retires in singles. I've tagged with her, and she's awesome. And it's never worked out as far as us setting up matches. It's just kind of always fallen through. We've had a couple singles matches set up, but, you know, our offices and whatnot haven't agreed on, like, location and whatnot. So I really want to wrestle her before, you know, she retires.
I got to think, you know, with you living full-time in Japan, that wrestling really is your full-time job.
It is, yeah, thank God. I don't have time to do anything else.
So I guess in that way, you know, I've come in contact with a lot of wrestlers, the weekend warriors, where, you know, they work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights or days working independently, but during Monday through Friday, they have a full-time job outside of wrestling. So I guess, in some ways, you're very fortunate to not only have been booked internationally already, but you can support yourself full-time by just wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dream come true, really, because, like, I would just be so bummed out if I had to, you know, if I couldn't train as much as I get to and whatnot. Like, training is, you know, not that my day is easier than I just, like, hang out all day. Like, you know, I do have a busy day as well, but I'm very, very, you know, happy that my money that I make from wrestling and merchandise and whatnot is what supports me and, you know, puts food on the table. So I'm very happy about that. In the States, it's much harder to make a living at wrestling. Like, I feel like, especially now in women's wrestling, there's just so much custom wrestling that you have to live off of. And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of custom wrestling. And I've been able to support myself here and there in the States, you know, living off wrestling, but it's much easier in Japan.
Now, you've been active, I think you said, almost, what, 9 years in the ring. Have you gotten any feelers from either WWE or TNA or had a tryout? I would think that you have been wrestling for 9 years now and have wrestled in Mexico and Japan and the United States, that obviously their talent relations departments are familiar with you, and of course you have a lot of friends that probably know people in the business or either work, you know, for one of the companies. Have you really gotten any feelers from either company to work for either WWE or TNA?
Yeah, you know, wrestling is like high school, so everybody kind of knows everybody. And so, yeah, I mean, it's hard to be under the radar. But, yeah, I've, you know, when TNA had especially a strong women's division, I was in a tag, and, you know, we were definitely into pursuing that. And then it's like TNA's direction sort of changed, and it wasn't really something that had interested me at that point. And so I kind of went from being really interested in, like, you know, getting to TNA to, like, kind of retracting that, like, oh, okay, you know, I don't think they're doing necessarily what they were, you know, going to do. You know, when they signed Hamada and whatnot, it was like, it was going really well. And a lot of my friends were there, and I was like, oh, this will be great. Like, I'd love to get in, you know, get in the ring and, you know, have TV exposure. Like, it'd be so awesome. And then it was just kind of like their whole, like, focus shifted, and it just kind of became something I wasn't necessarily interested in. And I'm definitely the kind of person, like, if I'm not happy, I can't do it. I can't go through the motions. So, you know, just, I retracted that whole thing, and I was like, oh, no thanks. And then as far as the Rui, I was actually really interested in, like, trying out and, like, you know, putting effort forth when I was young, when I was, like, first training, because I was at a WWE school. So, you know, we trained with WWE wrestlers, and it was WWF at the time, I'm sorry. And then we had, you know, WWE scouts around all the time, so it was nothing new. You know, they all knew my name and whatnot. But then again, their kind of focus shifted, and the way their focus shifted wasn't really something I wanted to do at that point in my career. I was still, you know, young and wide-eyed, and I wanted to get out there and tackle the world. So that's, you know, just not something I pursued either. So, I mean, in short, I just haven't really pursued either company, just because really right now what they're doing and what they were doing when I was living in the States just isn't like the focus I would want, you know, in my career.
Let me ask you, WWE, you were obviously, you trained with Les Thatcher. HWA was a developmental territory for WWE, as was Ohio Valley Wrestling, Danny Davis in Louisville. So obviously you're familiar with the developmental system, having, you know, wrestled there and trained there. If WWE would call you and say, we'd be interested in you, but we would need you to sign a developmental contract, would that be something you'd want to pursue?
I don't think I would mind a developmental contract, just because what it entails is kind of already what I do. Like, I don't mind, you know, training a lot, and I don't mind being on the road and, you know, paying dues, quote unquote. I kind of already doing that. So really the developmental thing wouldn't be like my turnoff. I hear some wrestlers say that they would want like a straight to TV deal or a minimal, you know, developmental time deal. But I most definitely don't have the style that a WWE wrestler has, especially a female. So I would think, you know, most definitely I would have to go through their developmental system and kind of learn what they would, you know, want me to portray. But I'm not against it. we'll see. But I'm really happy right now, as I'm not necessarily trying to change it.
Awesome. And then we had a question here from Twitter. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to know if, obviously, the four championship belts we've seen you pictured with, and yet you were talking about at the beginning of the interview, do you get a chance to actually carry around those four physical titles, or do you have to put any sort of like deposit down on them in case something happens to them if you get them lost at an independent show? And so I guess the basic question, do you get a chance to you know, carry those championships with you wherever you go?
It's funny. I was at a show. I wasn't even wrestling. I was just selling merchandise. This was in Marietta, Ohio, here recently with the AIW crew. And I thought I lost the bag that held like the JWP championship. And I was just like flipping out, like, because I had it out so people could see it. Yeah, I was just like, and this is like this velvet bag. Like, it's nothing like really intricate, but it's, you know, it's Japan's and God knows how old it is. And I was just like, oh, man, someone is like going to cut off my head. It's going to be horrible. And but I had it, luckily. But yeah, no, I do carry them around. I carry all four of them. They are very heavy. Like, it's a pain in the butt. I have to have like an entire backpack of championship belts when I'm like on the subway going to my wrestling shows, so it's pretty you know, it's pretty high class, I'm sure you can imagine. But yeah, I do carry them around. You know, I don't have a deposit down, but I'm sure if I lost them I would just be, you know, murdered and thrown in the trash can somewhere, so.
You should mention that. You probably shouldn't mention that word in Japan. You never
know.
Think to hear about it. So.
No. I work for really, really great companies, so they trust me.
Somebody wants to know, too, if you keep track of your matches in terms of how many you have per year, and like, you keep track of a record of your opponents and who you've defeated along the way?
I don't. I did when I was younger. I kept a wrestling book, like a, you know, I summarized like what the match was, what I felt could have been better, what I felt could have been worse, what got a good reaction, what didn't, you know, when I wrote down where it was and, you know, whatnot. And I was writing wins and losses down too there. But I did stop doing that, especially as, you know, I think I stopped doing it when I went to Mexico and was just like wrestling every day, all day, every day. I just didn't have time to jot it all down. But in, like, in Japan especially, they're very, very, like, intricate about details. And so, like, I get, like, fan reports and like, summaries. And, like, I get, like, neat little presents with, like, my win-loss records on them. So at the end of the year, I just kind of wait. And then, like, people just always give me a ton of stuff of, like, how my year went. And so I just kind of wait for that. I let them do the work.
Do you have any idea how many matches you wrestle a year on average?
I don't at all. I wrestle usually six matches a month on average, so whatever that math would be. But sometimes I wrestle, like, you know, if I wrestle a tournament, I'll wrestle like 10 matches in a week or something. So it fluctuates a lot.
I know this will be surprising to a lot of people, but Haley Hatred is not your real name.
It's not, somehow.
It's hard to believe.
So the
obvious question is, how did you adopt the ring name Haley Hatred?
When I was coming up with my wrestling school, I had another name there, and it was like part of a stable, like with two or three other boys at the time, guys I shouldn't say boys, and we were like this jock stable. It was, you know, it was amazing. But then I got my first independent wrestling booking outside of HWA in my school, and I just like felt like the character I had like just wouldn't like work like as a standalone character, because I was just like a manager, you know, I was a young kid. And so we were just like, me and my friends were just like in the car actually coming back from the show where I'd got booked, because we, you know, we'd watched it. I was down there supporting some of my friends that were already wrestlers. We're just kind of, you know, hanging out, like, just throwing around names. And all I said is I wanted, like, a name to have, like, a double, like, a ha-ha, you know, or whatever. I was like, that was neat to me when I was, you know, 19 or 18 or however old I was when I was coming up with this. So I was like, I want that to happen. And then we just, like, one of my friends threw it out, and I was just like, oh, yeah, I like that. And so it just stuck. I still like it now, so I'm happy about that.
With a name like that, you might, in theory, are you a Satan worshiper?
Oh, no, I love Jesus. Yeah, it's funny in Japan, like, in Mexico, too, like, they don't really realize what hatred means, so, like, all people actually think it's my real name. So people in Japan, they'll be like, oh, you're not really Haley? And I'm like, no. And everyone always says, like, my real name's, you know, more wrestler-y than Haley is, but that's a whole other story.
How going to Mexico, how did you get booked for Mexico? Because I know, you know, when I talk to a lot of independent people, obviously their goal is to work in Japan or Mexico. So how did that come about? And then I also wanted to ask you, how hard is it to actually wrestle with a mask on?
Okay. Yeah. I got booked with Mexico. I think I was like, I initially talked to them when I was maybe 19. I was only like a year, maybe I was 20. I was only a year or 2 years in the business. And then I was doing a show for PGWA down in Nashville. And then the promoter of the women's company in Mexico, LLS, in Monterrey, Mexico, he was up there with Diana, and they were, you know, she was, I think, you know, she doesn't speak English, so he was probably her translator is what I assume. But they both come up for the show and everything, and she did, I think she defended one of her belts. And then, you know, he was up there, and I said, hey, you know, I really want to go to Mexico. And he's like, yeah, you know, I've heard about you from Randy. And I said, it's a big career goal of mine, because I actually wanted to go to Mexico before I went to Japan. Because I, like, really the styles, like, if you know Lucha, I think it's a lot easier of a transition to kind of, like, learn, you know, how to wrestle in Japan. But not necessarily necessary, though. But for me, I thought it helped. But so I wanted to do that, and, you know, and I said, you know, I really want to call me. He said, okay, you know, let's keep in touch. And we actually, like, emailed for, like, years before it actually worked out, like, before, like, a sponsor, you know, came through with, like, my, you know, airfare and, you know, accommodations and all that. Like, it was, like, I worked my butt off to get booked in Mexico. Like, I think it was, like, a 3-year email communication before it actually happened. And that's, you know, it's funny. Like, I think if you want to go to Mexico, you should probably just buy a plane ticket and go down there, because, like, I really feel like Mexican society, like, it's a very laid-back culture. Like, people aren't really jumping on to, like, you know, book a ticket and whatnot. So that was kind of what had happened. And had I known all that, I probably would have just booked a ticket down and went down there and just stayed down there for a while and see how it went. But I didn't. And, you know, I'm happy it finally happened, but it was actually post my Japan tour. So it wasn't really how I wanted my career to work out, but I'm not really complaining either. As far as dressing under a mask, it was completely my idea. It was what I wanted to do. And I actually ended up keeping my mask for, like, longer than, like, any, like, foreigner has ever kept their mask. It was amazing because most of the girls, like, they wrestle down there for a month and then they, like, have a mask and, like, they just kind of lose it. But I had mine for, like, 3.5 years, so I was really happy about that. But, yeah, it was, like, I liked it because, like, you didn't have to do makeup. Like, we just put your mask on and you go out, so that's nice. It was difficult. Like, you don't have peripheral vision, obviously, so that was really hard. Like, you really have to, like, you know, turn your head and see what's coming at you. So I felt like that was, like, one of the more challenging parts. And I would just, like, when I first got my mask, I would just kind of, like, hang out in my apartment and, like, wear it, like, and just try to get used to it. And oh my gosh, I'm glad, like, there was no hidden cameras broadcasting that. But no, it's challenging, but I think you definitely get used to it. And, you know, on those days where you have 8 matches and it's like 110, you know, desert dry heat Mexico weather, it's pretty sweaty too. But again, you don't have to wear makeup, so it's nice.
I understand you kind of broke the code of the mask, that you actually had wrestled without the mask after you've debuted with the mask, and that's kind of taboo.
Yeah, that was a big no-no. This was when I was not, like, such a fluent Spanish speaker. So I was approached by AAA, and, you know, I'd already had my mask down there for about probably 3 years at that point. And AAA said, hey, you know, we want to book you. You know, we want to do this thing, but we're not really interested in, like, you know, you having a mask character. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I wear a mask, so is that okay? And, like, there was, like, meetings with promoters, and, like, the whole thing was, like, spoke about, and, like, everybody said it was okay. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, so I wrestled without a mask in AAA, and then I continued to wrestle with a mask in, you know, in LLF and other independent companies and whatnot. And so AAA was the only place I was appearing without a mask, but then, you know, obviously fans were putting it together, kind of. Like, not everyone, but, you know, people were like, hey, the tall blonde girl or whatever, the tall black-haired girl, she looks the same with a mask and without. But, you know, so then, like, the commission, it's kind of a long story, but the commission, they contacted the promoter and they said, you know, hey, she's like breaking the rules, and like they put it in the papers. And so then the commission just kind of, in short, had to make an example out of me because it was like all in the papers. Like more of this little fiasco was in the papers than like anything in my pro wrestling career has ever been. Like this whole, like this girl breaking the thing, but
the tabloid.
Yeah. I was like, it was tabloid news, man. People were coming up to me at the gym, like, hey, I saw you in the paper today. And I was like, oh, but no, it was, it's terrible because, like, I mean, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong because, again, you know, ignorance, but, you know, I wasn't speaking really fluent Spanish, and everybody just told me it was okay. Like, everybody's like, this is fine, you're allowed to do this. Like, you know, AAA said it was okay, the other companies were telling me it's fine, and so everybody was just saying it's okay. And then it just came down to it where, you know, they put it in the tabloids, and sounds silly to say tabloids in pro wrestling, but and they put in the tabloids, and then the commission, you know, they're like, okay, so they suspended me for like 2 weeks, and then like that was that, like that was the end of it. So all this drama came with like a 2-week suspension. So it was all pretty silly, and I do feel bad, like, you know, for the people who felt like, you know, I disrespected, you know, Lucha Libre tradition. Like, I didn't really get the book on Lucha Libre tradition, so I didn't know I was breaking any rules, especially when all the companies that were paying me were saying, hey, this is okay that you're doing this. So.
Yeah, I'll get to some questions about media, how the media compares Mexico, Japan, and the United States a little bit later. But sticking with Mexico, have you ever been, like, kind of scared to be down there? Because we always hear about the, you know, the drug cartels and the gangs and the violence on the border. Have you ever really been scared to, you know, be down there to work?
Oh, I'm terrified. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you'll be hanging out, like, you know, shows don't exactly end early. So you'll be hanging out at, like, midnight, like, waiting for the bus. Like,
oh, boy.
And not the, you know, not the greatest area. So, but no, I think Mexico, I mean, it's a good experience, I think. Like, even if it is maybe not the smartest experience for everybody, especially like a, you know, young girl. But like, you know, you kind of learn to adapt. Like, I went from being kind of who I am in the States and like who I am in Japan and whatnot to like learning in Mexico. Like, you travel light, you know, you always have a weapon of sorts on hand, make friends. But no, I ended up, I had great friends. I had, you know, great fans, even, you know, I had a good environment around me, but there's definitely scary moments. Like, it's, you know, it's a third world country. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on down there, and not entirely their fault either. There's a lot of, you know, bad stuff on our side of the border that's, you know, encouraging it by all means. But yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not this perfect place. You know, you can't go around and just talk to everybody like, you know, you do in Japan. Like, Japan's the safest country in the world, I think. So, you know, it was always funny for me to like go back and forth between them, because I'd become like this kind of like a cold person in Mexico, where like people would, you know, always stop you on the street or whatever, and you just like really learn to have like tunnel vision, not like acknowledge anyone around, and then they just kind of get over it. To where like in Japan, if someone like tries to talk to you, and it's like, oh yeah, it is okay to talk to these people, you know. But yeah, I mean, Mexico overall for me was just like a really important part of my career. So I would hate to say, like, you know, I don't want to say anything like bad about the country, because it's a beautiful country. It's a great place to like visit, maybe even live, you know, if that's your thing. You know, especially for wrestling, it's a really, really great place for wrestling. So there's scary moments, but you just got to be smart, just like anywhere, you know, just like dark alleys in the States.
Just don't drink the water, right?
Yeah. Don't drink the water. Definitely. You will puke your brains out.
Before we go into Japan, I want to ask you about mixed martial arts, because I know you're training for mixed martial arts, and
yeah.
And on your Twitter page, it even says that a debut is soon. So, how soon is your debut in mixed martial arts?
Unfortunately, I just haven't changed it yet. No, I started training in MMA when I moved to Japan, and I was actually set to debut the day of the earthquake, March 11th. Since that happened, obviously, you know, the show was canceled and whatnot, so I couldn't have my MMA debut. And after that, I went right into a JWP singles tournament, and I ended up winning the JWP, you know, women's championship. So kind of, I got a little bit busy with pro wrestling, and I really couldn't focus on MMA. So my MMA career is a bit on hold right now. I am still training, and I still kind of treat it, you know, as I'm ready to fight anytime. But my wrestling schedule is just a bit busy to where I can't, you know, really, like, focus and, like, set up a fight and stuff like that. And plus my offices, they're, you know, they don't really want me to get spread too thin. Like, it's already enough that I train as a pro wrestler and I train as an MMA fighter. Like, that keeps me busy as is, but, like, to really train for, like, a pro MMA fight, that's, you know, there's a lot going into that.
We have Anwar from Twitter wants to know, who would your dream opponent be in mixed martial arts?
Like, since I'm going to be fighting with the Jules Company, I would say for sure Hiroko's, you know, my top girl I would want to face there. She's taller than me, and, like, she's such a good fighter. I think she's, like, you know, I don't know how many she's lost. I don't know if she's only lost one or if she hasn't lost any fights, but she's really good. Like, she's, you know, a really good striker, and that's kind of more my style, so I really like that. She's also really good on the ground, so she's not, you know, one-dimensional. So Hiroko, and then Wendy, I train at Pancras, so, like, Wendy is the top girl there, and again, she's a really, really strong striker, and a lot of even people, they just kind of say she fights like a guy, so I'm really into that, and I just really look up to her a lot, so just, I guess, you know, professionally and personally, like, she'd be someone I'd really want to fight there. Let's see, Valkyrie just closed down, so they had one of their girls, Rin Nakai. She's, like, a really, like, thick Japanese girl, and you don't see that too often. Like, she's got some muscles. She looks like she should be, like, a pro bodybuilder. So I'd like to fight her. Like, a lot of people, you know, those are, like, their dream matchups. So, like, oh, you know, thick Japanese girl and me, you know, have a fight. So I'd like to fight her. I don't keep up with, like, girls MMA, like, in the States, unfortunately, but, I'd totally, like, fight Cyborg. Like, I think that'd be awesome. Like, probably everyone's like, oh my god, what an idiot for saying that, but I mean, why not? Like, she really she's awesome. Like, I don't know too many other girls other than her, but, like, she fights like a boy. Like, I'm into that. Like, I'd love to have a fight with her. It'd be a dream come true. So, you know, I am actually negotiating having fights here in the States and having fights in Canada. So, you know, if I kind of build it up and, you know, have some wins, maybe I can challenge her one day. Why waste your time not challenging anyone but champions, you know?
You know, it's interesting because they just had a piece on, I don't know if you saw the piece over the weekend on CNN.
Probably not. I just watch too much TV.
But it was a story about women in mixed martial arts, how there's a lot of women out there that fight, that there's, so every card other than UFC pretty much has women matches of some sort, you know, fights. And a lot of the women are fighting pretty much for no pay or very little pay. And there was one story of a woman who is supporting her son, and that she bartends. She receives more pay from the bartending than the mixed martial arts, even though she's going to mixed martial arts. And I guess when you think about full-time wrestling, and you get a pretty good income and you're doing fairly well for yourself. So it's something like mixed martial arts, there's not a lot of money in it.
Yeah, and that's such a bummer. And I believe all that. Like, a few of my friends, you know, are fighters, and, you know, I do know about the girls here who, you know, it's like, people really underestimate, like, how hard it is to be a woman sometimes. And not saying it's not to be a man, but, like, you know, you have these women, like, even if they're, like, stay-at-home moms, it's like they're taking care of their kids all day, and then it's like the husband gets home and they have to go to training. It's like, that's hard. I mean, it's hard enough, I think, to train, like, especially MMA. Like, MMA is one of the most, you know, difficult things I've ever done in my life. Like, so that alone is hard. Like, to have to, like, take care of children and a family on top of that, you know, to have to cook and clean a house and whatnot. And then, like you said, like, bartending, or, like, you know, I know some women actually have, like, you know, degrees, and they're, you know, they're having, like, complex, you know, hard jobs. It's like, that's got to be really stressful and really strenuous. And I really, you know, I tip my cap to those ladies. Like, they are, I mean, that's a warrior right there. Like, someone who can really, like, balance their life out that much, you know, and that's awesome. And I hope that these girls really get, like, what they're putting into it, you know, eventually back. Like, you know, I know the money's a little less here in the States than it is in Japan, and that's just kind of a bummer. And I hope these girls get to come over to Japan and experience that level of competition and experience that, you know, that purse amount. And, you know, it's sad to hear that, you know, and then you see, I think, like, I mean, I know that people are always going to argue popularity, and guys don't, you know, the typical male UFC fan doesn't want to watch women's fight. I know that, you know, we're always going to hear that, but, you know, I think sometimes women's fights are a lot better than guys' fights. So why aren't they getting that payday, you know what I mean? Or why aren't they getting that popularity and that exposure? But these girls, I mean, they're kicking butt. So I know they're happy doing their thing. I just wish that, you know, they had more to show for it, I guess, you know. But I'm sure that's not really the most important thing to them. Their happiness is.
Let me ask you about injuries. You know, what's been the worst injury you suffered? And after 9 years of professional wrestling, how are you doing physically?
Well, man. No, let's see. I think I've been pretty lucky. I haven't had to, you know, take too much time off. I don't think I've ever had to take time off, so I'm happy about that. I've never missed a match due to injury. I've missed training, I will say that. This past year has been rough. I will say, like, it's MMA, like, from a cross arm breaker, and like, I torn some ligament in my elbow, which I know is really, really common. So I actually, like, didn't have full use of my arm for like 8 months. And then I finally, like, you know, was like about 100%, and, I had a match, and like, I got the same injury, like, off of a jackknife pin, if you can just believe that. It's always the most bizarre things. But so I had that. That was a huge bummer, because like, I couldn't really like brush my hair with that hand or anything, like in a daily part of your life. I was like washing my hair with one hand. It was just like really annoying. So I went through like 8 months of like rehab and like getting my arm better, and then like I had that happen again. I was just like, oh, that's a bummer. And I do have I have a fractured bone in my foot right now. I've been dealing with for a year, and that's not really like healing that much. But again, pro wrestling is my income, so I can't really, you know, miss time or anything. But this month I've had a much lighter, you know, I've been in the States, so I've had a much lighter training schedule, and a bit more kind of at my, you know, at my choice. So I've given my body a little bit more time to heal up, but, no, I'm doing pretty good overall. Like, I guess my worst injury, I did hurt my orbital bone once, so that was probably the most, like, uncomfortable, because it's your eyeball, you know.
Yeah.
That, and broken noses are never fun. I've had 3 of those, but overall, I'm really lucky and really fortunate. I just try to condition well so I don't get injuries. But this year, I've been getting my butt kicked with MMA. Like, these, I spar with like these 15-year-old boys that are just like crazy, and they just like punch you in the face and don't even care. And it's awesome. You know, my dojo goes really hard, so it's good.
What's been the most extreme or gimmicky match you've been in? Because I know you've been involved in a lot of hardcore matches, I'm sure, with like Mickey Knuckles back with the IWA Mid-South. But is there one or two that extreme rules or gimmicks, really gimmick match that kind of stick out as like the most bizarre or most over the edge type of gimmick matches that you've been involved in?
I've probably only done like maybe a dozen like quote unquote death matches. In my opinion, like, the craziest match I've ever been in would be No Ropes Barbed Wire. Like, and I actually did that for AIW. That was an intergender match I had with John Thorne. And that was, like, that was just, like, I couldn't even, like, think of it. Like, I just had to, like, go do it. It's like riding a roller coaster that you're scared of or something. Like, I couldn't even be like, man, like, my body is going to be in barbed wire. On the same token, I kind of like grew up with like FMW, and I really was really like into like that, and Kudo. I really liked her a lot, you know, and I was like, I kind of wanted to be like her. So that was probably like the craziest like gimmick match I've had. But the most painful I had was actually with him. We did a give up only dog collar match. And I lost a ton of blood in that match, and like it affected me for like 2 weeks after. Like, I was just like not myself. Like, training at the gym was really, really challenging. Like, just there was a lot of like after repercussions from that match. So I would say like that was the one that like took the toll on my body the most. But probably people would think like out of the two, like the, you know, the No Ropes Barbed Wire one is a little bit more crazy. And then, like, in Mexico, like, some crazy girl hit me with light tubes, so that was a bummer. Like, I'm not really a big fan of light tubes, nor do I really endorse doing matches with them. So, you know, I got a bunch of scars all over my arm and leg from that, so that's not fun. And, you know, going to Mexico hospitals isn't really fun either. But aside from that, yeah, with Mickey and I, we did our, you know, we did, like, the thumbtack ones and all that, but her and I never got too crazy. Like, I'm sure we could, but we just, you know, weren't presented. Like, I'm not really a person who just believes in, like, doing death matches just to do them. Like, I like there to be a story involved. So, you know, her and I, we really never had, like, a story of a death match in our you know, time together.
I assume, you know, you obviously you're in Japan a lot, and when you come here, you don't, you know, watch a lot of television, but do you get a chance at all to keep an eye on what's going on with the current American scene in terms of WWE or TNA, kind of know what's going on in Raw, SmackDown, Impact, have any idea, you know, the current character storylines or anything like that, or maybe just hear it from the tours that, you know, people keeping you abreast of what's going on, or do you really follow it at all?
Sadly, I don't, and I hate to say that as, like, a professional wrestler. I have no clue what happens at TNA because, like, we really don't get it in Japan, and, like, nobody really seems to be talking about it with me, so, like, I have no clue what that company is. With WWE, you know, we do get it in Japan, but I'm actually usually at my dojo when it's on, so, yeah, I don't see it. And, you know, people again, really don't really talk to me that much about WWE, so I really don't know what's going on there either, sadly. But it's not, I mean, I would love to watch it, you know, but I'm also watching, you know, Japanese wrestling when I have the time, and just again, I don't have that much time. Like, I'm in a lot of dojos a lot of days, and I'm going to a lot of different cities, so I'm kind of in the metro a lot, so I don't have that much time to, like, sit down and watch, like, wrestling, you know. But when I do get the chance, I'm usually, like, catching up on, like, New Japan or NOAH, so that's kind of my priority, you know, to see those matches, I guess. Let's see. And then, I did finally, I saw Ring of Honor. I saw that, like, a couple weeks ago. It was, I was just, like, you know, I couldn't fall asleep, and it was on at, like, 1 a.m. at my, where I live. I don't know if that's normal everywhere else, but, and I was like, oh, Ring of Honor. Like, I haven't seen that since, like, you know, 2003. So, I don't think that's an exaggeration either. But so I turned that on, and, you know, I checked that out, and I don't know who most people are, but, you know, it's nice. And but I, you know, we do see some of the, like, the standout independents here. They do wrestle in Japan, and so that's nice. You know, you get to see those guys kind of busting out their stuff, and they're so good. Like, I think independent wrestling has really, like, the talent. You know, the talent at level has just really risen since, like, when I lived here and when I, you know, really paid attention and had time to pay attention to it. Like, these guys are just, like, they're hanging, like, you know, head-to-head, you know, toe-to-toe with the Japanese guys, and that's awesome, like, because it's a completely different training regimen. So, I mean, these guys are really conditioning and preparing well, you know, to do all these Japan tours. But so I get to hear about people that way, at least. I've been watching the Dean Ambrose matches and you know, those matches from FCW. Like, my fans are, you know, tweeting that to me, my friends are tweeting that to me, so I'm seeing those matches. Those are really exciting. I'm like a huge supporter of John Moxley. He's a really good wrestler, so can't wait to see what he does on TV. I will somehow find a way. And then when the whole CM Punk thing happened, I also, people were, you know, sending that to me, so I saw the first couple bits of that, and I thought that was really cool. I don't really know where it's gone since then. So hopefully it's still good.
Down in the dumps, I would say. Really.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
that's a bummer.
I
was really holding on, because if anyone's going to start a revolution, it's going to be CM Punk, you know? Let's see. And then, yeah, there's a couple other, you know, American matches people have, you know, sent to me, and I've got queued up in my YouTube file ready. But overall, I've grown up watching Japanese wrestling. It's just kind of more my taste, so I just kind of always choose that over the American stuff. But if I hear enough about the American stuff, you know, I have some awesome fans that send it over. If I'm like, hey, where's this freaking match? I have to see it.
Because we do have a question here also from Twitter. If you could be involved in a three-way match with one diva from WWE and one diva from TNA, who would they be?
You're going to have to tell me the TNA roster. I'm sorry. And you might,
okay.
Honestly, you might have to tell me the WWE roster too.
Is there any women from WWE that kind of stick out that you?
I've never wrestled Natalya, and I'd really like to, I've wrestled Beth before, so I've never wrestled Natalya. I'd really like to wrestle her. So let's pick her for the WWE one. For TNA, you're going to have to tell me the roster.
There's Winter.
Okay. That's she's from Britain, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. I don't know TNA names.
Velvet Sky.
Okay. I know her, Talia.
Tracy Brooks.
I know Tracy. Okay.
Tara,
that's Victoria.
Victoria in WWE. Let's see. Sarita.
Sarita. Okay, that's Dark Angel.
Sarah Stock from, mm-hmm. from Mexico. Let's see. ODB.
Okay.
Miss Tessa Mocker, who used to wrestle in WWE. Brooke Adams.
I don't know her. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mickey James.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, too. Madison Rain.
Okay, I've wrestled tons with her.
Right, obviously with Shimmer as well. And then the other one I'm thinking of is Angelina Love.
Oh, okay, I've wrestled her as well. Okay, let's go with Sarita. Let's go with Dark Angel. I've never wrestled her. So let's go three-way dance with Natalya and Sarita.
Have you ever wrestled Jennifer Blake?
I have. Actually, one of my favorite matches was with her. It's actually on the Girls' Night Out 1 DVD. From AIW. We had a really, really good match. It was the first time we ever met each other, and it's one of my favorite matches to date.
And I believe she's, full-time in Mexico right now, right?
Yep.
She's actually living down there.
She is, yeah. She's with AAA. I think she's been there, maybe a couple years now. But we, when I was with AAA, we tagged and everything, so she was cool. She's really good.
Talk about the earthquakes and the big tsunami in Japan. Were you there at the time? And I guess how scary was that to be living through at that time?
Yeah, I was there. I was in the gym. So I was like, oh. No, growing up in Ohio, obviously I've not been in I guess you guys just had an earthquake here. But before that, we just had tornadoes to worry about. So, I didn't have any earthquake experience. But in Japan, like the night before of the big earthquake, there was like a small one. And I was just kind of like I really couldn't tell because, I'm kind of up like I'm not really that high in where my apartment building is. So, like, it wasn't really, like, moving that much. It wasn't that big of an earthquake. But I just kind of saw my ceiling light, like, shaking. And I was like, okay, I think this is an earthquake. All right. You know, like, nothing was falling over. It wasn't that big of a thing. And I was just like, all right, okay, earthquake. I understand what it is now. Because, I'd always heard, in Japan, like, you're going to see the typhoons and the tsunamis and the earthquakes and whatnot. So, experienced typhoons. Not the other ones. And I don't really live to where a tsunami would affect me, in Tokyo. But, but then the next day was the big one. And I was in the gym and just, like, started off, like, small. And then just, like, all of a sudden, just, like, all the stuff, like, started falling over. And I wasn't really speaking very good Japanese at that point. And so, like, there was one of the trainers. His dad's actually from Ohio, of all places in the world. So he speaks a little bit of English as well. And so he was trying to tell me, he's like, yeah, this is an earthquake. And I was like, oh, it's much bigger than the one yesterday was. But it was insanity. It was like the craziest thing, there was just stuff falling over everywhere. And you're just like, okay, like what's going on? And then you just like look outside and like, Tokyo is a very, very populated city anyway. But, you just like look outside and instantly just like everybody's on the street. Like it's so busy. Like, so busy. It was like a movie full of like extras in New York City or something like that. There was just like so many people on the street. And kind of fast forward, like Tokyo really relies on public transportation. And so that had all shut down. Like the metro was shut down, the subway, whatever you want to call it. Buses were shut down, taxis couldn't move. And not that, people drive in Tokyo, but it's kind of expensive to drive. So like, I wouldn't say like a huge part of the population does. But the people that did have cars, it's like they were just like sitting on the street, like not moving. And so it's like, I don't really live in that crowded of a part of Tokyo. I can't imagine what like Shinjuku would look like, but my little city, like it was crazy. Like there was just, you couldn't like walk. Like there was just people everywhere. You like, it was like a big concert or something like that. Like this crazy mosh pit. Like you just, and then it's like people are just like walking around in like hard hats and stuff like that. And like before, just seeing people in like the medical masks would creep me out. So, like, seeing people walk around in, like, hard hats, I'm just like, are buildings going to fall over? Is that the defense to that? Like, what is this? And so it was just, it was so hard to imagine. And, like, I couldn't, you know, I like, again, I really didn't understand that much Japanese, couldn't speak that much. So watching the news wasn't really answering, like, my questions. And I'm, like, getting on the internet, and I'm like, what's going on? And I found out it was in Sendai. So I sent a message out, you know, to the Sendai girls, and I said, you know, are you guys okay? And then I finally got a reply back that they were. And so I was just happy about that, you know, like, that they were all safe. But Sendai, of course, being the epicenter. And, you know, so in Tokyo, we weren't really affected by the anything else but the, like, the rest of the earthquake that, you know, Sendai got. So, you know, we didn't really, I mean, it wasn't that bad where, you know, where we lived. There was cracked pavement and there was, you know, damage to buildings. But, like, I mean, just Sendai was just, was demolished. It's unheard of. It's so sad what those people had to go through.
Now that you've gone through these tours, how fluent are you in these languages?
I do pretty good. like I'm not going to, I don't even think I'm fluent in English, so I'm not going to say I'm fluent. but no, I probably speak Spanish more than anything now. So I speak Spanish in Japan. And, you know, I have a lot of Brazilian friends, and you know, I speak a little Portuguese as well. And so, you know, I speak that a lot. When I was new to Japan and I couldn't speak Japanese, to communicate with a lot of the girls, we would speak Spanish because, you know, they had worked with CMLL and AAA in the past. So we use that as a big form of communication. So it was funny, like, when I wasn't that confident about speaking Spanish, and then I just went to Japan and I was just, like, super confident because, like, their Spanish wasn't that perfect either. So two non-native people speaking was really, like, you know, nice. And so I think that's a lot about speaking foreign languages, just confidence. You know, like, I get really, really shy when I'm speaking Japanese, like, but people are just like, oh no, it's really good. And as soon as you get that, it's just like, oh, okay, I can speak it, you know. So I do good now. Like, you know, I don't have as, when I first moved, I had a lot more time to study, but it's kind of like, I guess you would maybe imagine, like, you know, having the belts that I have, like, I have four championships, like, it does kind of make you busier than you a normal, you know, wrestler would be. I have to do, like, a lot more of, like, you know, pub and press and whatnot. Not to mention I have to train harder so I can keep all four. but so I don't have as much time to study. So that's kind of unfortunate, but I guess just kind of speaking more and just being more confident to speak, it just kind of, that elevates it as well. So I think if you want to learn a foreign language, you should just kind of keep surrounding yourself with hearing it. Like, you know, my friends always say when they learned English, like, it was from TV and from movies or from listening to songs. So I think it's the same way.
You don't have a copy of those Rosetta Stones?
No, I hear Rosetta Stones is actually pretty rough for Asian languages. Like, I hear it's not the greatest tool, but if I can endorse anything, I'll endorse Japanese Pod 101. That's what I use. Because I am pretty busy. I don't get to hang out on my computer, like, all day and take Japanese lessons. So I'll download a bunch of lessons and I'll put it on my iPod. And then, I'd go to, like, Yokohama every day from Tokyo. So that's, like, an hour and a half each way on the metro. So I'm just, like, hanging out there, like, writing my Japanese with my iPod. And people are just, like, looking at me like, this girl is so weird.
Have you run into, like, MVP, Giant Bernard, some of the other, I guess, regulars that have moved over to Japan and working full-time over there?
Yeah, those guys, you know, they do like, 2- and 4-week tours, I think. Some of them have stayed, like, even up to, like, 2 months. But, yeah, I run into a lot of people. run into tons of Americans and, you know, Mexicans and whatnot. It's always nice kind of to see someone from your home country and you can just be like, man, I don't like rice, or, you know, whatever we talk about.
I think I alluded this to this question before, but how does the media differ from Mexico, Japan, and then the United States in terms of the wrestling media?
Let's see. I think in I think in Mexico, it's a lot more, like, accessible. Like, the daily paper, like, you just pick it up and, like, you see wrestling events in it. You know what I mean? Like, I know at least in my local paper in the States, like, you see, like, high school, like, football results. Like, you don't see your, like, wrestling. So I think it's, you know, with it being more popular, widespread in Mexico, that makes it a little bit, like, easier and in demand, I guess. So, you know, if you want to hang out and, like, just kind of see, like, wrestling results in in Mexico, like, it's really simple. You just, you know, go to 7-Eleven and pick up a paper. I feel like in the States, like, unless you're watching TV, like, it's a little bit more difficult to see coverage. I mean, I know we rely a lot on the internet, but to kind of, you know, to get a magazine, like, someone actually just asked me the other day, like, a Japanese fan was asking me about our magazine coverage here, and I'm just like, I think it's just WWE. Like, I don't think there's really, like, a lot of independent coverage. Like, if you want to see, like, the latest ROH results, like, can you really pick up a magazine? You know, I don't know. So I didn't have a good answer. But so, and then in Japan, especially men's wrestling is extremely well covered. Like, we have, you know, we have Samurai TV. So even sometimes, like, if there's an event at Korakuen Hall, like, it'll be on Samurai TV that night. So it's, you know, like, even though, I mean, I guess you would consider New Japan being, like, your WWE over here, but even, like, a smaller independent, let's say, like, DDT, if they have a show, like, they had a show, for example, a couple of days ago, and it was already on TV, and then I've already seen a match all the way over here in the States, like, that's pretty sweet. Like, where else, you know, can you say that? You know, I know, especially, like, other than, like, Chikara and Smart Mark turning out DVDs, like, that night, because that's pretty awesome. Like, I know a lot of my fans that are trying to order independent DVDs are, like, they have to wait, like, you know, 2 months for it all the production to get out and all that. So I think the media is a little bit better in foreign countries, just maybe because it's a little bit higher in demand. I think, like, the only thing in demand over here is WWE, really, maybe TNA, I don't know, but... and then as far as magazines, you know, we do have a weekly wrestling magazine in Japan, so that's nice. The girls get coverage, you know, not as much as the boys, but, and then, MMA gets tons of coverage. It's awesome. Like, there's so many MMA magazines in Japan. It's great. You just can't ever run out.
How hard is it to train at the dojo?
I think the level of competition is a little bit higher. So overall speaking, not saying every Japanese wrestler is better than every American wrestler, but if we're generally speaking, I feel like the level of competition is a little bit higher in Japan, both in MMA and in pro wrestling, from what I've experienced at least. So it is a little bit more challenging. You know, you're getting hit a little bit harder. You know, maybe you're getting put into submissions that you don't necessarily have counters for. I feel like the conditioning is a little bit harder too. You know, just kind of to start off, like, you know, in Japan, we do like an hour and a half just of like conditioning. Let's say if we have a 3-hour practice, like half of that is just warming up. So that's, you know, that's a little bit different. I know some of the, I mean, I've trained in bad schools. I've trained in good schools in the States, but some of the States I've seen, you know, them not really, you know, concentrate that much on the small things like chain wrestling or things like that, and just kind of worry more about like, let's, you know, let's bump a lot, let's do a bunch of backdrops and things like that. And I mean my personal feeling on that, I mean, you do need to practice high skill moves, but I mean, if you can do a suplex, you can do a suplex, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do like 40 of them in training, but there's probably not somebody who can, like, reverse, like, a jujigatame or, like, a triangle 40 different ways, so why not work on that, you know what I mean? So that's kind of just my feeling on it. So I just kind of feel like we work a little bit more on the little things, like, in the other countries, and it gets a little bit more of a big result in the end. But I feel like conditioning is just, like, so important. I mean, I can just tell, like, you know, I'll be in the ring with, you know, a Japanese girl or whatever, and then I could have that same match with, you know, an American girl or whatever, and, you know, whatever their background may be, and they're just, they can't breathe. And it's like, that's such a huge part of wrestling, is being able to breathe. Like, so conditioning is just really important. Like, I would really, I mean, no matter where you live, I would really say, like, you know, up your conditioning. I mean, even us in Japan, we're always trying to do the new thing, you know. We're, like, running in saunas with weight vests and stuff like that. So we're doing all kinds of crazy cookie things. But, yeah, everyone always hears, like, the stories of, like, the 500 squats. And, I mean, yeah, we do, like, 500 squats, like, easily. There's boys that, you know, do, like, 1,000. That's just kind of how it is. Not that big of a deal.
How hard is it, too? You obviously grew up, you know, in America, in Ohio. Eating American food American dishes, and now you go to Japan, and it's a totally different lifestyle. How hard is it to diet and to eat properly in Japan?
It's much easier. portions are much smaller. Like, I've always been, like, the kind of person who, like, drinks a lot, like, of liquid, not alcohol. And so, like, I'll drink, like, 40 ounces of something, like, just an insane amount of, like, water or whatever. But then you go to Japan, and, like, the, like, our small is like they're like extra large or something like that. So you just drink so much less. Like I really realized that coming back over this last time. Like I'll order like a medium drink here, and it's just like so like gigantic. I'm like, I cannot drink this. So much liquid. But yeah, I mean, it's like when I first moved there, I thought it was difficult because like I didn't know what anything was, and I couldn't read like hiragana, katakana, and kanji. And I was just like, someone please tell me, is this fish or pork? I don't really know. But I think once you find your staples, especially if you learn how to cook Japanese dishes, it's like really simple. And Japan has like the best fish in the world. And I think that's, you know, a really nice, healthy dish. So, you know, we cook up, you know, fish all the time. We have, I think like eating chicken there is a little different because there they eat like every part of the chicken. I feel like in the States, like we just pretty much eat more like the, you know, if you're eating the healthy part, you're just kind of eating the chicken breast. But there they're like eating chicken skin, and they eat raw chicken, and they eat like chicken heart and all this stuff that we would find a little bit like strange, but you just do it there. But it's really nice. Like Japanese food is really, really nice. It takes a little bit, I guess, of getting accustomed to, but you know, it's, I like it a lot.
Have you ever thought about how many more years you actually want to be active in pro wrestling?
When I debuted, or when I was thinking about my wrestling career, I said I wanted to do it until I was 40, because I figured for a girl, that's kind of like, you know, when we start getting wrinkles and maybe the body's shutting down and, you know, whatnot. But no, you know, now, you know, I'm 28. I'll be 28 in a few days. So, you know, I'm thinking about it. Like, I guess I'm a little late for an MMA career, but some of the other girls are starting now too, so maybe not. But there's still a lot more I want to do. I you know, really want to, once I debut in Japan and have some fights, I actually really want to spend a year in Thailand and, you know, really practice, like, nice Muay Thai there. But unfortunately, I would have to kind of take some time off from wrestling to do that. So wrestling's really, like, my heart and my soul. And MMA, like, I hate when people, like, think that I'm just going to go jump and do the MMA thing. Like, MMA started off as, like, just kind of something to help me up my game in wrestling, especially since I'm, you know, predominant striker. But I mean, it is something I've really fallen in love with, and I really enjoy the challenge of it. And I really like having, you know, MMA style fights, whether they be like Muay Thai rules, whether they be grappling rules, whatever. But you know, with just pro wrestling, like purely, I can't say like when I want to finish now. Like I really can't put an age on it. I was talking with one of the girls at Shimmer Weekend, and we were talking about, you know, how, you know, we're really proud and happy of what we've accomplished so far. But, you know, she was thinking of like going to WWE and like kind of doing that thing, even though she's been a little bit like not a WWE style wrestler before. And, you know, I was like, you know, telling her like, yeah, you know, go for it. Like you've done what you wanted, you know, and you've been happy, like now go make a lot of money so you can retire and, you know, have some good cash. So, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of at, you know, an interesting point in our career, like which way are we going with it? Are we going to stay independent wrestlers? Are we going to stay international wrestlers? Are we going to go try the WWE thing? You know, but for me, I don't know. I don't really know what my future holds, but in the next few years, I just want to keep training hard for MMA. Like I said, I do want to go to Thailand and spend a year. And then I want to win some more titles for sure in Japan. I feel like I've just kind of only scraped the surface and opened some people's eyes up that, you know, white girls can come over and win some belts too.
I know I'll kind of put you on the spot a little bit with this question. I know you were talking about some of the Japanese women wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say are like maybe the top three or four or five American women wrestlers?
Top three, four, or five?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say just say, okay, who do you think is the best female wrestler right now? Although a lot of people I talk to say it's Sarah Del Rey.
That's what I would say.
So who else do you think would be in that group?
It's a little bit hard for me to answer because I really don't know what's going on in the States that much anymore. Like even like Shimmer, I thought like being at Shimmer Weekend, even though I was only there for day one, I would get to see like a lot of girls and like, you know, I would be like exposed to all this new wrestling. And it's like, unfortunately I only got to see like a handful of matches just because like there was so much going on. Like Shimmer Weekend is just like such a hectic, amazing, fun epitome of a thing. I don't even know how to describe it. Like everyone always told me like you have to just experience it to, you know, to understand it, and that's so true. But yeah, I mean, for me, like Sarah's amazing. I really like, I mean, she's great. Can we loop Madison in there, even though she's Australian? She kind of lives here sometimes.
Madison Eagles.
Madison Eagles, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, I would put her up there for sure. Melissa, you know, she's always been up there. I think those are everybody's top three, right? She's really good. She just won the, you know, the Shimmer Championship, so that's
right.
No easy feat. But I haven't seen a lot of the other girls right now to say, like, who's on top, you know? So it's hard for me to, like, name drop, unfortunately.
What do you consider your biggest strength, and what do you consider your biggest weakness at this point?
Biggest strengths, I'm really open-minded, and I don't like fluster easily, so I feel like I can really kind of go into any style of match and be comfortable. So I think that's a good thing to have. But yeah, I feel like a lot of girls that are just like, you know, flipping out and nervous and stuff like that, and you know, not that I don't get butterflies. I think by the time you stop getting butterflies, you should just get out of it. But I'm really comfortable on like really any level. My biggest weaknesses, I just always feel like I have a lot to learn. I don't think I'm ever going to be content. So to always be, you know, so pessimistic, I think is just terrible. Maybe. But, there's more, you know, I guess there's more styles I want to do. I want to be a more complete, like, jiu-jitsu style wrestler. I want to be a more complete grappler. So that's the big thing I'm working on right now. And not saying that, like, I'm a perfect striker, and not saying that, like, I'm, you know, perfect flyer or anything like that. But, that's the biggest part to me missing in my game is ground game and just being like a really great fluid, like I said, like jiu-jitsu style wrestler. So I really want to do that. Like, Megumi Yabushita really helps me out a lot. She's got a judo background, but she's also really, really good on the ground. So we just kind of roll around for, you know, a long time, and it's fun. So that's my biggest weakness for sure.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years. Definitely still like being involved, like with fighting, whether it just be on an enjoyment level or, you know, being on a, you know, on a live stage. It's hard for me, like, personally, it's hard for me to say that, like, you know, am I going to have a family or be married or anything like that? Cause that's not really something I'm thinking about right now. It is something that's like entered my head. Like, I don't want to be that person who's like, you know, 38, like, oh man, I should go have children, you know? So
hurry up. The clock's running out, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, I don't want to be that girl, like, who's having kids, like, because, you know, she thinks her body's going to shut down or something. But also, you know, I'm like at a really like selfish point in my life, I guess. Like, you know, I don't really have like time to stay home or like time to really commit to something else. So like to even think about like having children or anything like that is just bizarre. And plus, I don't want to be like these MMA girls who like take care of their kids all day and then train all night. Like, that sounds exhausting. It's just exhausting to just train, man. Let alone if kids are involved. But yeah, in 5 years, still being you know, around in the fight world. But I don't know if it's going to be pro wrestling, if it's going to be MMA, if I'm going to be married with children.
Do you even have time for a personal life?
It's hard. It's really, really. I have to like force it. Like when I first moved to Japan, like I just like my only friends were like my dojo mates. Like I didn't talk to anyone. But then I had like some friends who were just like, man, like you need to get out on the town. Like, so I have a lot of really cool friends now. And the cool thing about like Tokyo is like it's a very international city. So like I have friends, you know, I speak multiple different languages with multiple different people, and it's just cool. Like I have, you know, friends from places I've never even heard of, you know, and then just it's a big like group array of like foreign people that like live in Tokyo. So it's like it's the funnest place I've ever lived. Like it's so cool to me. Like I'm so interested in different cultures, so it's so cool to me to like meet people and like hear about their different religions and hear about their, you know, different family lives and their upbringings and stuff like that. So Tokyo is the coolest place to have friends.
What are you like away from the ring?
Oh no. I like thinking about getting back in it. No, I really do have like a whole like fighter style life. Like the ring is really like I haven't thought about much other than fighting and wrestling in the past, you know, 15 years of my life. So that's a hard question to answer, but I'm a pretty like relaxed person, I guess. I just like the, you know, listen to music. The whole generic answer. I love to like you know, like get on Skype or whatever with my sister and like find out who's popular in bands and movies right now, because like in Japan, we're really behind on the times. It's like American movies are like we're just like now getting Twilight. No, I'm just kidding. Like movies are so delayed over there. Like, so I'm like, oh, this movie's coming out. She's like, yeah, it's like on video now. It's like not even DVD, it's video. But so I like to find out, you know, what's popular and trying to keep up as much with like what's going on in the States as I can living over there, like without having a lot of time to like read the news every day and like really engulf myself in it. So I just like to just hang out with my friends and shop and put new music on my iPod. Really boring. I just kind of like to train.
At this point in your career, do you have any regrets?
No, not at all. Like, I know, especially being younger, I was just like obsessed with being perfect. And I had, you know, I had good friends that were just like, don't be, you know, like you're never going to be like another wrestler. Like I used to compare myself a lot and they would just, you know, be like, oh, you know, you're never going to be another wrestler. Like, don't be, you know, don't be like, oh, I wish I would have had her upbringing or whatnot. I do wish, like I said, I got to Mexico a little earlier than I did, cause I think that would have helped. But, maybe if I would have went earlier, then I wouldn't have went to Japan or something like that. So just, I'm really, really, really happy like where I am, like, and it's just amazing to me. Like, I like one of the most things, or one of the things that makes me happiest, is I really never like sold out or compromised my beliefs to get anywhere that I am, and I'm just really happy about that because I see that and I see people really regret it, and I never like changed my look or changed my style to like, you know, benefit anyone else other than me, you know. So I'm just really happy to have gotten where I am, and I have a great office, and I have great friends and great trainers that have really pushed me to get me to where I am. So I just want to keep up with that. Happy.
Awesome. And as we wrap up with Haley Hatred, why don't you go ahead and plug, I know you're on social media, you're on Twitter and Facebook. Do you have an official website, and is there anything you want to plug in terms of upcoming shows, appearances? Obviously you're going back to Japan here fairly soon. But do you have any, like, American bookings or personal appearances you'll be making along the way as well?
No, just going back to Japan. November 2nd is my return match. I'm going to get to tag up with Yoneyama and Kimura, Kimura Kyoko. So those are, you know, my two best friends, so I'm really excited about that. And I always try to post on my Facebook my upcoming matches, and if it ever hits YouTube, I definitely try to, you know, post it as well. And then December 23rd is Yoneyama's retirement. I know there are a few Americans and, you know, British people, whatnot, foreigners, coming over to Japan for that. So December 23rd, Korakuen Hall, 12 noon, JWP, Yoneyama's retirement. It's going to be awesome. She's going to have an amazing match, I'm sure. So Yoneyama Revolution, spread the word. And, I don't know, you know, when my next time in the States is going to be, but, you know, I had a great time, you know, doing Shimmer, doing AIW again, doing XICW up in Michigan. So that was really fun. I'm always really excited to, you know, come back and see who's the new crop of awesome talent, you know, because we don't know. I don't know who it is. I'm always excited to see that. But, social media. I do Twitter / Haley Hatred. I do Facebook, Haley Hatred. Nothing real complicated.
Well, we do appreciate your time tonight. You've been a great interview subject. We've enjoyed hearing about your stories and your adventures along this pro wrestling business, and maybe we'll see you in mixed martial arts as well. We did enjoy talking to you tonight, and we wish you all the best of luck. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much.